You're listening to the Humans of DevOps podcast, a podcast focused on advancing the humans of DevOps through skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning, or the SKIL framework.
In terms of that, the learning curve for people was not fully remote or hybrid. The learning curve for people was the fact that you're not in the office, the fact that you don't have immediate communications. And I think that is the biggest impact. It's not fully remote or partially remote, it's remote at all.
Hey everyone, it's Jason Baum, Director of Member Experience at DevOps Institute, and this is the Humans of DevOps podcast. Welcome back. I hope you had a great week. It was a good one for me. It's been hot and sunny, and I will take that. Especially coming out of what felt like a very long winter. To say the work world has changed over the past 2+ years would definitely be an understatement. First, the mass force shift to fully remote, then the evolution of the attempted return to the office, then we didn't return to the office, then we were returning to the office. Are we still waiting to return to the office? Who knows? Companies started to adapt. They developed hybrid strategies. Other companies said, forget it, we're going to stay remote. Some even made their home base remote and their offices satellite offices. We're definitely still in the, second wave of change, which is just continuous change. I found a recent study, one that really piqued my interest. It was from January 2022, so I'm sure some of these statistics have changed because this is an ongoing thing. But I thought some of these stats were interesting. 66% of executives say their company is considering reorganizing its office space to accommodate hybrid work. It's definitely different for each office. Some are giving up the you have a space and have adopted the come in and share the space. Others are keeping their space, but expect you to come in a few days a week. 63% of high growth businesses are using hybrid work models already. Hybrid model that works for all generations? Yeah, that one could be a little difficult. Apparently 3 out of 4 Gen Zers want more face-to-face collaboration opportunities compared to 66% of Gen Xers and 66% of baby boomers, which is interesting to me, being in the latter as a Gen Xer. I don't really want to go back. I'll be honest. I've done my networking. I could still go out and do my networking at conferences. That sounds fun. But I'm happy in my home office. A hybrid model in which employees can work remotely at least 25% of the time is preferred by 83% of the workers polled. 92% of those polled in one survey expect to work from home at least once a week, and 80% expect to work from home at least 3 times a week. So that's pretty interesting. Organizations around the world are turning to DevOps as a way of working together to improve the efficiency and quality of software delivery, especially as they continue navigating to hybrid work environments. But for some still struggling through their own digital changes, it may not be as easy to adapt, which is why providing guidance to help some of these companies is critical. Here today to talk to me about the importance of adopting DevOps to support new hybrid working environments is Grant Fritchie. Grant has worked for more than 30 years in IT as a developer and a DBA. He's built systems from the major enterprise to distributed systems to small boutique companies. He's the author of multiple books, including SQL Server Execution Plans and SQL Server Query Performance Tuning. He develops and presents complete structured learning plans to teach Azure, AWS, and other data-related topics to developers and other IS personnel. Grant's a Microsoft Data Platform MVP and an AWS Community Builder. And Grant's here today, and I'm very excited to have you, Grant. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks for letting me play. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Are you ready to get human?
Yeah, well, you know, as much as I get anyway.
Yeah, sometimes it's tough getting human. So Grant, you're actually at a conference right now.
I am.
So you're with people, other humans. Shocker.
I can see them.
You could see people. Can you? Well, hopefully not too much touching, but I'm sure you're doing some handshaking, which for me is still I have to get over because I didn't like handshaking before the pandemic. Now I'm definitely not shaking too many hands. But it's interesting that we're having this conversation as you're around so many people talking about hybrid. So I guess we could start with how is DevOps being incorporated into the workforce?
Well, I mean, the real
In a
question
remote hybrid environment, I should say.
is DevOps being incorporated into the workforce would be one
Yeah.
question. But honestly, it is being incorporated into the hybrid workforce because what they're recognizing is that, especially when it comes to deployments, development, that kind of thing, when you're not in a situation where you're sitting eyeball to eyeball with someone, where you can't immediately run down the hallway and go, "Oh my God, everything's on fire, someone fix it." You need a lot more automation. You need a lot more configuration and planning. A stricter, more disciplined process allows you to have, frankly, a looser work environment. So where you don't have to have that capability of instant communication, especially, as much as we enjoy our hybrid, and I do, boy, do I ever, we're cavemen, right? We are jumped up monkeys. We've got a million years of evolution that teaches us that eyeball to eyeball communication is more efficient. But we're not going to be doing it as much, so we have to come up with other mechanisms to support it. And DevOps is really acting as one of those mechanisms.
Yeah, it's interesting. We actually had the conversation a few weeks ago about like the crossover of hybrid and HR and the roles that they each kind of play or don't play or should play in everything. And certainly with remote versus hybrid, there are differences. So I guess what major differences do you see? Or complications that are arising in a hybrid environment that don't necessarily come up in fully remote, and then vice versa.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure that you're going to be seeing a lot of stuff that's hybrid that you're not going to see in a fully remote situation. I'm either lucky or unlucky, or depending on how you look at it. When all this went down 2 years ago, I'd already spent 9 years working fully remote, effectively fully remote. I mean, I was always in the office maybe twice a year, 3 times a year. So I would call that fully remote.
Yeah, I think we can count that as remote.
And so when the initial transition went down, I didn't notice anything other than the fact I wasn't traveling to events like this. It was no big deal. But in terms of that, the learning curve for people was not fully remote or hybrid. The learning curve for people was the fact that you're not in the office, the fact that you don't have immediate communications. And I think that is the biggest impact. It's not fully remote or partially remote. It's remote at all. And you'll notice that. I mean, I used to complain about my company. Not that I complain about my company, I love my company, but I used to complain that we had a
Careful,
hallway
people are
culture.
listening.
Well, I used to say we had a hallway culture because there were a lot of decisions that got made in the hallway. A lot more decisions got made at the coffee urn than got made in the meeting rooms. And so they were very good about bringing in the right people to the meeting. Even though I was remote, I would be brought in. I could make the calls, and make the talks. And we'd maybe make a decision or two, and then they'd all walk out with it on their heads and go to the coffee urn and start drinking. And suddenly, wait a minute, hey, I've got an idea. And decisions got made that way.
Yeah, those
I'm
light
not.
bulb moments.
Yeah, and I'm not complaining about that. That happened. It's normal. But in terms of this hybrid, not hybrid, remote stuff, that's not happening now. And you need mechanisms in place that are going to allow you to support people's ability to not be in the hallway. And I wouldn't say DevOps solves that problem by any means, but DevOps helps solve that problem. It moves a lot of communication and a lot of mechanisms into known processes and out of ad hoc mechanisms. So instead of, making the decision at the coffee urn, we're now making those decisions in a more structured fashion. And frankly, the automation is helping. The automation is my favorite bit. I love that aspect of DevOps. But I mean, I always remember it is people, process, tools, right? That's people, or people, process, products. That's the better way to put it. Thinking of it that way, it really makes a difference. I mean, it helps. It doesn't solve every problem, but it does help in a major way.
Yeah, there are some inherent issues, right? Because these are human issues. So unfortunately, there's not a tool or a process to fix all of them. They just help them, right?
Yeah.
Or make it more efficient, I guess is the better word. But, you know, I find it to be fascinating how, and maybe it's because in a time of crisis, you go into fight or flight and you just kind of react instantly. And we all have gut, or I don't know what it is, this thing switches on, right? And we just go. And when the pandemic happened, that switch, I kind of have referenced it. It almost makes me think of Y2K, except Y2K, we had a lot of time to prepare. Right. And then nothing happened. This time we had no time to prepare and something happened and we had to shift instantly. And something that was said, oh, this digital revolution, this change, this is going to happen and it's going to take time. Yeah, it took no time. It took like, it happened in weeks. You know, it would, by April, everyone was remote. You know, it's kind of fascinating to look back and think about. But the transition back to hybrid is much clunkier, much slower. Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, one, people got comfortable. And if you're comfortable, you're not going to want to get uncomfortable. I mean, commuting sucks, right?
Putting on pants sucks. Forget commuting.
Well, I mean, just so everyone knows at the conference, I am wearing trousers. But once you're comfortable, you don't want to change. And so there's resistance there. Whereas the discomfort before would be, you know, well, hey, am I going to go out in this place where I don't know whether or not the mask is going to work? There is no vaccination yet. You know, there was a certain level of concern, right? Valid concern. So the switch was driven out of, again, actually comfort, right? I'm more comfortable working from home. And then, of course, you got used to it, and then you were more comfortable working from home. So I think that's one of it. I think the other is it's easier to work remote when everyone is working remote. It is harder when the hallway conversations come back in, and then some people aren't there, and you realize, oh, God, we can't make this decision until we talk to, you know, Susie or Peggy or whoever it is that's going to be involved in it. And so, you know, it makes it more difficult. It slows down the process.
It's so funny you say that because I also worked remote prior to the pandemic. And, you know, my home base was in Chicago. I'm located in the New York area. So, right. You know, yeah, to go to the office was get on a plane. And same with you. I was probably in the office maybe four times a year, five, six at the most. And yeah, it's tough. Like you go to the holiday parties so you could show face, you go to the, you know, you try to make sure that you're there for a week and you show face, but, yeah, there's still all those conversations that are happening that, let's go back to that. Cause that's an interest, the hallway conversation, the coffee pot conversation. Just recently my own company started coming back, you know, DevOps Institute, we started having in-person meetings, not that frequent. You know, we'll fly down to our home base in Florida, get together for a few days. And I gotta say, what you can accomplish when you are face to face, we forget, you get so much more done that could have taken weeks to do remote, and you get it done in a few hours. So there is that component that's still there that I think even those of us who are very comfortable working from home, there is that realization that I think that we are missing that.
Right. Well, I mean, as you say, I mean, it's absolutely an aspect of it. I mean, and like I said earlier, we are monkeys, right? It's unavoidable that evolution is part of our communication mechanism. And as much as our technology has grown and just something like this is amazing and wonderful and really cool, it still doesn't replace the efficiency of that face-to-face communication.
Yeah, even this, I'm always like, we need the after conversation. I've been thinking and toying around with the idea. I think I need to take it to like Twitter space or something. Like, continue the conversation, get more people involved in the conversation, because I think we have a lot of these. We have a lot of the one-offs. We have a lot of the, okay, my team's going great, but then what about all the other teams? You're missing out on other teams. Silos are made. DevOps is
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
good about breaking down silos, but it's harder in remote, right? So how do these processes, how does this automation, you said you're a big fan of automation, how does it combat that?
Well, I mean, the big part of it is that you can't automate everyone's work. You need everyone involved to do the automation. So I, you know, my work generally is database, very, very focused on databases. Fine. But I work very closely with dev teams. I work very closely with the ops teams, and I work closely with the business. And I can't automate any of those other things. I just can't. I can't control those. So I have to communicate with those people, you know, and say like, well, hey, I've got my piece automated up to here. Now what do we do? Right? Who picks up the ball and runs with it from there? And we've got to, you know, I mean, for a good DevOps process, there's got to be somebody doing each of those steps. I mean, and I know there's some people who specialize, oh, I can automate the whole thing. I'll bet you you still bring in some specialists on some aspects of it to automate or control other little bits, but they've all got to go into the same process. They've all got to go through the same set of testing and the same mechanisms of protection for your production environments. It all lends itself to better and more efficient communication, and it all lends itself to better protection. But it does require a lot of cooperation, a lot of communication.
The tools we use as a team have a direct influence on how we work together and the success we create. We built Range with that in mind. By balancing asynchronous check-ins and real-time collaboration, Range helps remote and hybrid dev teams build alignment and put time back on the calendar. Range connects dozens of apps like Jira and GitHub in one place so everyone can share updates on work, and even makes it easier to run focused, efficient meetings with an easy-to-use facilitation tool. Create greater team success and engagement by bringing focus and a bit of fun back to your work. Visit userange.com/devops to learn more and try Range free.
Yeah, if you ask data scientists, right, and you ask these people who live in create AI and machine learning and all these things, they'll say the first thing they'll say, I feel like most of them will say, my job is to make human lives better, not to eliminate their jobs, but to
Right.
make their lives better.
Sure. Well, I mean, and frankly, you know, I've heard this over and over again. It's like, well, you know, if you automate all these things, then what am I going to do for my job? It's like, one, if your job is poking buttons like this,
You're
you know,
Homer
maybe,
Simpson.
right, well, maybe we should eliminate that job.
Yeah.
But no, because your job, especially if you're in IT, your job's up here. You've got a lot of thinking you have to do, and we need you to be thinking. We need you not to be pushing a button like this. So, no, it is about humans. It is about supporting the humans through their processes. Crud, I lost track on the question.
No, that's okay. So, no, I think that was great. Is hybrid, so I read those statistics. First of all, the generations, the adaptation from the generations, that's an interesting one. That really stood out to me. And it makes a lot of sense, right? Those early in their career really need that face-to-face, and are lacking it. Hell, I work with people who came into this workforce in this environment and know nothing different. In some ways, I feel like, well, maybe they're kind of more adept to work in it. And in others, I'm feeling, boy, they're really missing out on quite a bit of what we all had earlier in our careers.
Well, yeah, I mean, I learned so much early in my career from just being able to turn to the person next to me who, you know, had a year more than me. I mean, only a year more, and go like, "What the hell is this?" And, you know what I mean? And get that immediate feedback.
Right. I remember
Whereas,
sitting in a conference room and just hearing everyone else talking. I'm like, wow, these are smart people. Being a little overwhelmed, a little bit of imposter syndrome, but it's good, right? You soak it in, you absorb it. We're missing that.
Well, I mean, it's talking DevOps, you know, in a fully remote or even in a hybrid situation. I may never have jumped on board with this, and I've been doing the automation of database deployments and moving into a full-blown DevOps since 2005. I mean, I've been engaged in it for 12 years. Is that right? Math is hard.
Math is hard.
17 years. 17 years. Oh my God, I'm old. But I've been doing it for a long time, but I started it because I had a developer come up to me and say, hey, you know, I think we can do this better. I've been reading up on these new things and let's sit down and talk about this, you know? And so we sat down and we hashed it out again, face to face, and we figured out some new stuff. I mean, you know, and I went off and did my own thing. He went off and did his own thing. And then we got together and worked with some other people. But it was that initial face to face that made the difference in my getting started along this path. And you got to think, if the poor people who are only hybrid or are only remote, they might not get that spark. They might not get that moment where you go like, yeah, we really could do something better, and then start making that change.
Do you think the fully, because even fully remote before, we were saying, well, we still got, we were still in person a few times a year. There were still things that we did to be in person. Do you see a world where that's like going to be, I don't think anyone's fully remote anymore. I mean, I feel like some people are still doing, I even said my company, which is a fully remote company, we still get together and are planning to do that more and are thinking of other ways to get together, because now that it is safer, and look, you're never 100% safe, you know, no one can promise you those things. But
no, I'm flying in an airplane tomorrow.
Yeah. Look, it's naive to say you're safe, right? But we certainly are safer than we were maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, for sure.
Sure.
But now that it is that way and people are starting to get back to face to face, you're at a conference. You know, do you think you're going to start seeing it return to where it was before, at the very least, with remote companies still doing in-person things?
Yeah, I do. I really think, you know, there was a good while there, you're hearing the phrase regularly, well, the new normal. Yeah, well, we've already left what was the new normal, right? That's already gone. So... So it was never the new normal.
I heard a really smart person call it the now normal in the time. I love that.
Okay. That was good. I had not heard that. Wish I had, because then I would have felt better about it. Because every time someone said it to me, I was like, nah, look, I know I'm old, but I'm old. Trust me, you're wrong. But the interesting thing here is that there is efficiency in the face-to-face. And so I think we are going to be going back to that more and more. Are we going to be going all the way back to a fully in place work environment? No, I think there's going to be a degree of hybrid for the majority of people. I worked for a company, I'm not going to name names, and the CEO once said he won't allow remote work because he can't allow it for everyone. Well, guess what? 2 years ago, he allowed it for everyone. He didn't really have a choice, but you know, that's just how it went. And I think it's okay. I think it's okay that, you know, some degree of hybrid is still going to be there. Is it going to occasionally slow down some conversations? Yes. Is it occasionally going to impact some of our processes, change some of how we do some DevOps? Sure. But the fact that we're getting back into that in person, making that, you know, letting the monkey out play and doing that face-to-face communication, it is more efficient. And I think that that's just going to continue. I just don't think it's going to be all the way back. I don't think we're going to see fully in person. From most companies, I think some may, but probably not all. I mean, my son went through the whole pandemic in manufacturing, and his job didn't change an inch. They went to work because that's where the machines are.
Right.
And so, you know, there was just no choice. I mean,
yeah, there's a good percentage of the workforce that just worked. I mean, just based on those numbers, I mean, we said 66%, right, were remote. There's still a lot that weren't,
right?
And now those are transitioning, so there's even less.
Sure.
There's also, you know, we're coming close to the end of the podcast, but I did want to get a few more questions in there.
Okay.
especially because you've sparked my interest on some things. And I'd be curious to know, we've talked to a lot of people on the podcast throughout the process of this pandemic, and they've been adopting some interesting things that I don't think they're going to just go away, you know, now that right. they've been adopted. Because like you said, we're also creatures of habit. We may be monkeys, but we've adapted and we've evolved in this working from home, remote, sort of hybrid, sort of not, the constant change. One thing that I've seen is with the metaverse becoming more popular and people starting to go towards it. I talked to, at the beginning of this season of the podcast, a company called Modern, and they started, it was brand new. They sent me an Oculus, my first time ever using it, and I got to meet them in the metaverse at their office in VR. And let me tell you, it felt real. Like, I mean, like, real, which is weird because it was clearly not. I was talking to cartoons. But right. they were next to me. You can sort of feel their space. You're the space between you. It felt like, you know, someone was in your, you know, if someone's sitting too close, you felt like they're sitting too close. All those things, which is very cool. You can see hand motions, nodding your head, sipping your drink, although that's very weird because you can't see the cup. You know, so all those things, you can get up, you can present. So that's how they were working with their developers, right, to move wow. software, you know, have their stand-ups, have their, you know, when they're trying to work out a bug, a problem, they could do it together. I'm sure you've heard of your own stories from other companies that are taking to interesting methods. You know, what are some other ways people can foster these type of environments or those hallway in-person conversations that you're talking about?
Wow. Well, okay. I do have one example. It's the only one I have. Thank God I have one. One of my dev team, several of my dev teams, one of my dev teams started doing this, and I kind of went, oh, that's stupid. And then I did it with them, and it was like, okay, this is not stupid. And what they did was Slack. I know Slack, but they opened up a Slack chat, I think that's what it is, and they opened it up all day long. So it was open all the time. And so you could just turn, I mean, you could mute it if you were neck deep in something and you really didn't want to hear anything, you could mute it, but it was just there. And so people could, you know, crack jokes, say something, you know, talk to each other in real time, responding or not responding as they wanted to. And it actually improved the communication between the team. It's one of the reasons there's been a couple of teams at the company who've been a little reluctant to come back into the office because they're like, nah, we're fine. Why do we need to come back into the office? So, I mean, that is one little innovation. I mean, just it's a small thing, but it is, like you say, it's all about that hallway communication and the efficiency. And you know, it made it real and direct and more personal than simply typing into Slack or anything like that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, like some of these tools, especially in the pandemic, have become just like necessary, like Slack, like Zoom, like, you know, all these.
Yeah.
And where did some of the other ones disappear off to, like Skype? Remember that?
Right. Oh, yeah, that was a thing.
So you either adapted and became a tool that people were going to use or you didn't. We actually just launched a community for DevOps professionals, practitioners. We actually stood up. So like we have an AWS board discussion community. We have DevOps human issues. We have SRE, I believe. We have a whole bunch of them that you could go in and talk about DevOps culture. So yeah, I would definitely encourage those listening that if you're looking for an outlet, if you're looking to talk to people, definitely come in and go to DevOps in the wild. It's community.devopsinstitute.com. And maybe I'll take some of these conversations over to DevOps in the wild afterwards. Sure. We'll see. So, yeah, Grant, I would love to invite you there, by the way. Maybe we can continue the conversation in there as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I really enjoyed having you on. We usually ask one last question of our guests, and this one's a little more personal, so get ready to put your personal hat on.
Oh, okay.
So if you could be remembered for one thing, what would it be? I always throw a doozy at the end.
Oh, wow. All right, I'm going to go a little self-serving on it. For over 2 years now, starting at the beginning of the pandemic, every workday, I have put up a good morning tweet with a little positive message about health, sleep, whatever. I would love for that actually to be something that people remember about. Yeah, it's tiny little thing, but it would just be cool.
I love that. I think I have to follow you now. and I've been starting to tweet as of like last week, a 3-song playlist to get you going in the morning. Cause like music is my, way of just sometimes in the morning, like with that, we just need inspiration. We need something to get us moving.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that. Well, Grant, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It was an absolute pleasure. I appreciate you coming on too while you're away and you're in a conference and at a conference. So it's I really appreciate it.
Well, no. Thank you very much for having me. Love to come back sometime when I'm not, in weird environments.
Absolutely.
And talk more. Yeah.
We would love to have you and let's keep in touch.
Well, definitely. Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. I'm going to end this episode the same way I always do, encouraging you to become a member of DevOps Institute to get access to even more great resources just like this one. Join us in the wild, our community. It's community.devopsinstitute.com. I hope to see you there, where we'll continue the conversation. Until next time, stay safe, stay healthy, and most of all, stay human. Live long and prosper.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Don't forget to join our global community to get access to even more great resources like this. Until next time, remember, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You belong.